If you will, let's all open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse number 28. We're going to look at a parable of Jesus here this morning and learn some lessons from it about working in our Father's vineyard. Matthew 21 and verse number 28. Jesus asked this question. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" This parable of Jesus teaches an important lesson about repentance. And we mentioned it in our study last Sunday, talking about repentance, that one said, "I will not go," and then he repented and went. The repentance was the change of mind that took place, and then his going to the vineyard was the restitution being made for the wrong that he had done. And so the result of repentance was his going and working, but the repentance was the change of mind. And Jesus says that these who were hearing him, the chief priest and the elders of the people, verse 23, the Jewish leadership, they had heard John's preaching, but they refused to repent. And because of that, they would not enter into the Lord's kingdom. But those who did, such as the publicans and the harlots, they would enter into the kingdom because they were willing to repent. And so he teaches an important lesson about repentance there, but there's also an important lesson about obedience. And one of the things that this parable does is demonstrate the importance of obedience, that repentance has to lead to obedience. And so we want to talk about this question, or rather this statement that the man in the parable said to his sons, and apply it to us as the Lord speaking to us about serving him and being obedient. So the Lord said that the man said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Let's think about that commandment and that instruction that came from the father to these sons and what it means for us today. First of all, this command was a personal command. The father said, "Son, go work today." He addressed it to his sons. And so this was a very personal command that was given, first of all, because it was individual. Each son was given the same command, but it applied to each of them individually. They each had the responsibility to hear the command and then to obey it. One said that he would, but didn't obey it. The other said that he wouldn't, but repented and then did obey it. But both were responsible for their own actions. And our Father in heaven gives us commands today also that we are to do and we are to obey. And one of them is to go and work in his vineyard. And it's always an individual command. Of course, the Lord has instructions for his church as a whole, but those are carried out as we obey individually. So all the commands that we read about in the Bible, in the New Testament, they apply to us individually. I cannot obey for you, and you cannot obey for me. Parents cannot obey for their children, and children can't obey for their parents. A husband can't obey for his wife. A wife can't obey for her husband. We all have individual responsibility. And so each of these sons had that same choice to make. But it was also a personal command because it was a relational command. This was a son speaking to a father speaking to his sons. And so there was a relationship that existed. So it wasn't just someone speaking to a stranger. A stranger shows up and he says, "Go work in my vineyard." But it was to someone that he had connection to and relationship with. And so here it's a father and a son. Of course, there are other kinds of relationships that exist. But it shows us again the personal nature of this commandment, that the one giving the command and the one receiving the command had a connection to each other. When we think about being children of God, being Christians, we understand that there's a relationship that exists between us and God. And so when God asks us to do something, it's not, you know, some random stranger that we don't know asking us to do these things, but it's God. And because we have that connection to one another, it ought to motivate us to obey. In fact, when we read about the one son saying that he would go and then not going, we're disappointed in him, because this was someone that he should have cared about very dearly and should have been obedient to. And that's the third aspect of this command, and what makes it personal is that it's a familial command. A relationship exists. They're not just friends, they're not just acquaintances, but they're family. This is a father speaking to his son. And we know that as children of God, as those who obey God's word, that we're commanded to honor our father and our mother, to have respect for our parents, to care about them and to care for them, to obey them, to do what they ask us to do, but also to do the things that help them and serve them and provide for them. So this father asked his sons to do this work. Again, it's not some random stranger, you know, grabbing you off the street and saying, go work in my vineyard, but it's your father. And again, as Christians, we have a father in heaven. And God, of course, is our father. And that relationship that exists between us and him is one of a family nature. We have a family tie because God is our father. And as our father, we know the kind of love that he has for us. He loves us so dearly that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. He allowed Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. He blesses me with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He hears and answers my prayers. All the wonderful things that we think of God doing for us. Then when he asks us to do something, how can we not respond with obedience? Because he's our Father. It's a personal command individually that you and I each have to answer for ourselves. But when we think about the one who has asked us, the only right response is to obey. And sadly, too many times we're like the second son, and we tell God, I will obey you. I go, sir. We say it even respectfully, that we honor God and we respect him, and we're going to do your will, but then we don't do it. We need to be more like the first son, not in rebelling and saying that we won't go, but going and doing what God has asked us to do. So the father says, son, go work today in my vineyard. And so it's a personal command. In the second place, it's a powerful command because what is commanded takes action, effort, diligence on our part. He said, son, go work. And there are two words there, go and work. And the word go is a word that means literally to lead under. And it's the idea of leading yourself away from one to another. So withdrawing from a place, departing from a place. And the thing we need to learn here, of course, is that if we're going to serve in the Lord's vineyard, we have to be willing to go. We have to go out into the world where the harvest is to be reaped. We can't do the Lord's work sitting at home doing nothing. We have to go out to the world. Whether that's our work of edification in the church, in the congregation, we can't help build up the body of Christ if we don't go out of our house and assemble with the saints. We can't, you know, create fellowship with one another if we're not going and being involved in one another's lives. We can't help those and encourage those who need to be visited, those who are sick and those who are in need, if we don't go and see them and minister to them. And so the first part of the commandment is to go, not to stay at home, but to leave, to depart from this place and to go out where the need is and where the work can be done. And then the second word is the word work, and it's a word that means to toil or to labor. It's the idea of engaging yourself in something. And so it means to do work. And if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, not only do we have to be willing to go, but then we have to be willing to work. We don't just go to go out and to be among the world and to enjoy the things of the world, but we go out into the world to work. And not to do what we want or what we think, but what God has commanded us to do. And so that requires effort. It requires preparation on our part through our reading and studying of God's Word to be able to know it and to teach it to those who are lost. It requires preparing ourselves, you know, to pray with others, to help them in whatever need there may be. But we prepare ourselves to engage in work. And the principle here, of course, is that obedience to God is absolutely essential. And obedience to God means service, to serve Him, and very often we serve Him by serving others. And so the Lord says there's a work to be done, and He says that His children are the ones to do that work. And so we must be willing to go and to work. So we think about the Great Commission, and in both Matthew's account and in Mark's account, we find the word go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye and make disciples of all nations in Matthew's account. We have to go and then do the work, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So we have to be willing to go and then to do the work of making disciples by showing them the way of salvation, baptizing them for the remission of sins, and then teaching them what it means to be a disciple, the commandments of God that we are to obey. So there's a work to be done, and it's our duty to do that. So it's a powerful command. God is encouraging us to action, and that command is to go and work. In the third place, it's a primary command, meaning that it comes first. The Lord said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He didn't talk about the work that the son might have done yesterday in his vineyard, though maybe he did, and maybe he accomplished good things yesterday. But we can't rest on our laurels. We can't just think about what we did yesterday to serve the Lord. We have to go and work today, every day. That's God's command to us, because the work never ends. There's always something to be done in the Lord's kingdom, and the time to do it is today. He didn't talk to this young man about his intention to serve him one day, tomorrow, or a week from now, or a year from now, but he said, go work today. Many times we don't do the work of the Lord today because we say, well, I did it yesterday. I taught a Bible class years ago, so I don't have to teach it today. I did this work so many years ago, so I don't have to do it today. I tried to teach that person the gospel before, and they wouldn't listen, so there's no more work for me to do. We can't only look to the past. We have to start every day fresh and say, what can I do today to serve the Lord? And sometimes we don't serve the Lord because we're intending to do it, and we procrastinate, or we make excuses, or we find reasons that there's something more important to do in the here and now, presently, and we'll push the Lord's work to tomorrow. So we're going to serve the Lord. We're just going to do it later. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it next week. People do that with obeying the gospel. I know that I need to become a Christian. I know that I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I know that I need to come back home to the Lord. And one day I'm going to. But the Lord's commands are always today, because we don't know if that one day will ever come. We don't know if tomorrow will ever get here. All we have is here and now. And so we're commanded to go and to serve and to work today. And we ought to have good intentions about what we're going to do in the future, but in the meantime, we need to be working and serving here and now. And the point of this is that it indicates the urgency of the Lord's work. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but now. The writer of Hebrews talked about exhorting one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We may intend to do something good, but if we don't do it today, sin comes in and our hearts become hardened. Or that person that we were going to reach out to, something happens and now their heart is hardened because we didn't act today. We're talking about the salvation of souls. We're talking about serving our Father in heaven and doing the greatest work that can ever be done. reaching out to those who are lost, helping those who are in need, to show them the God who loves them and has provided a way of their salvation. There's nothing more important to do today than to teach the gospel and to serve the Lord and to serve our fellow man. So there's an urgency and immediacy to our work. It has to be done today. Not about yesterday, not about tomorrow, but about right here and right now. What can I do to serve the Lord? So these sons were told to go and work today in my vineyard. And of course, one of them did and one of them didn't. And we have that same choice as well. In the fourth place, this command is a possessive command. And I want us to think about this because it's important to understand this principle. But the father said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." That's possessive, my vineyard, the one that belongs to me. He didn't say, "Go outside the vineyard and do some work that I have not authorized you to do." And sometimes we get into that kind of trouble in the church. We think that busyness equals work, and that's not always true. We are, as Christians, as the Lord's church, we're commanded to do the Lord's work. Not our work, but His work. And the things that He has commanded us to do, biblically, you know, they are found in three categories. There's evangelism, there's edification of the body, and there's benevolence. And those are the three areas of work that we have to do as Christians, as the Lord's church. And there are no more. That's it. And too many times we get focused on all these other things so that we're busy as Christians doing things and we think that we're working. We're really just making busy work, we call it. We're doing things to be active and we're not actually doing the Lord's work. It's great for Christians to get together and have a meal together. That's a wonderful thing, to have fellowship. And if we're using that to edify and build up the church, it can be the Lord's work. But, you know, just getting together and going out on an outing or whatever is not necessarily the work of the church. So many times that's what we focus on. I was reading an article just this past week. A man was writing about youth, how, you know, we've spent so much energy and effort and money and time on hiring youth directors and youth leaders to keep our kids involved because we think the way to keep them faithful to the Lord is involvement. And so if they're doing these things with other Christian young men and women, and we keep them busy in the circles of these other Christian young men and women, then they'll stay faithful to the church. And they graduate high school and they go to college and they find all other kinds of young men and women and things to do and to be involved in that have nothing to do with the church. And they just walk away because the only thing tying them to the church was involvement. What they really need is the gospel. The only thing that's going to keep us faithful to the Lord is knowing Him by knowing His will. And so we can spend our time in busyness thinking that we're doing the Lord's work when we're not actually doing what He's commanded us to do. So when the Father says, "Work in my vineyard," He means do the work that I want you to do, that serves me and that honors me as your Father. And so as Christians and as the church, that has to be our focus. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do other things, but when we do the Lord's work, we have to, you know, with intention and with focus, do what He's commanded us to do. But secondly, it also reminds us that the Father didn't tell the Son to go work in someone else's vineyard, serving another master, but go work in my vineyard. If you hired someone to clean your house while you were at work, and you came home from your day of work and the dishes hadn't been washed and, you know, the clothes hadn't been folded, the floors hadn't been vacuumed, and this person you hired was standing there waiting for you to pay them, and you said, "You haven't done anything," and they said to you, "Well, no, I didn't at your house, but I cleaned your neighbor's house." Are you going to pay them for cleaning your neighbor's house? Well, of course not. Well, there are too many who claim to be working in the Lord's vineyard when they're actually in somebody else's vineyard doing their work. And that's the problem with the religions of men. People who think that they're serving God when they're actually following institutions and rules and laws that have been set up by men. And so the work that they do ends up honoring those men or that group or that denomination or that church, if you want to call it that, instead of honoring the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. And when the Father says, go work in my vineyard, it's the same as the Lord saying, go work in my church. The church is the vineyard of Christ. We'll see that in just a minute. But that's the point, that we have to work in the Lord's vineyard, not in some man-made institution, some man-made vineyard. And it's one of the saddest things about denominationalism, that multitudes of people, many with very sincere hearts, do so many works and things that, you know, are good things to do, and think and have convinced themselves that by doing these things they are serving the Lord, when they're not even in his vineyard. They're in somebody else's field doing their work. All of their work brings glory to a man-made institution, a human-created denomination. And that's never what the Lord intended. If we want to honor him, honor to him comes in the church, the book of Ephesians teaches us. We have to be in his vineyard. And so we have to learn and understand that you can't serve God in some other person's vineyard. You have to work in his vineyard and be a part of his church. And that also means that we can't be separate from the church and think that we're doing the Lord's work. Acts 20 and verse 28 reminds us about the church which he purchased with his own blood. And this idea that is so prevalent in our world today, that I'll just have a personal relationship with Jesus and I'll live my life and I'll serve him the way that I see best, but I don't want anything to do with the church, is completely foreign to the New Testament. You cannot serve the Lord, you can't work in his vineyard if you're not in his vineyard. You can't serve the Lord if you're not a part of his body. And so we can't be separate from the church and think that our work is pleasing to the Lord. We have to be a part of his body, and we have to work together as his body. And so it reminds us the importance of being a Christian, being a member of the Lord's church. It's not enough just to attend worship services. You know, we can come together in this building. That doesn't make us Christians. What makes me a Christian is that I have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And if I've never heard it and believed in Jesus and had faith in him that will motivate me to obey him by repenting of my sins and confessing his name and being baptized for the remission of sins, then I'm not a part of his body. The Lord adds me to the church, Acts chapter 2, when I repent and am baptized for the remission of my sins, verse 38 of that chapter. If I haven't done that, then I'm not a part of the Lord's church. I can't work in his vineyard. I may do good things and I may do good works, but they're not serving the Lord because I'm not one of his. And so the Lord says, go work in my vineyard. Be a part of my family and then serve me. He doesn't expect the world to do his work, and he doesn't expect those who are not his children to accomplish his work. Now, God has worked at times through those who were not faithful to him. We're going to talk about one tonight when we think about Balaam. It was a man who was a false prophet and an enemy of God's people, yet God spoke through him. But it didn't help Balaam. He was still just as lost afterward as he was before. God can work through people who are not his, but that doesn't accomplish their salvation. They'll still be lost. God saves those who obey his gospel, and then through them, he accomplishes his work. So when he tells us to work in my vineyard, he means to be a part of his family, the church, and do the work that he has authorized us to do as Christians, and to serve him faithfully in that effort. And then lastly, number five, this is a productive command. Son, go work today in my vineyard. What is a vineyard? Well, of course, it's a place where you grow grapes, but the idea is of fruitfulness. I want us to turn over to John chapter 15 and remind us of Jesus' teaching about the fact that he is the vine and that we are the branches. So there's some interesting things that he says here in this context. Remember that this passage comes in the setting of Jesus in the upper room with the disciples on the night that he is betrayed by Judas. Judas has gone out to accomplish that. He's there with his 11 apostles, and he's teaching them things they need to hear before he is crucified and leaves, and then before their work truly begins on the day of Pentecost. But here in chapter 15 and verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." We learn some important lessons here. First of all, that those who are unfruitful in the Lord's vineyard are removed. And notice that he specifies in verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch." There's this idea in the religious world that Jesus is the vine and the denominations are the branches. And that's not true. That's not what the Lord says. All the different denominations are not joined to the one vine, which is Christ. We know that's true because they all don't teach what the Lord teaches. In fact, they don't even agree with each other, much less agree with the Lord, so they can't be part of one vine. They're producing different fruit. One branch produces Baptist, and one branch produces Methodist, and one branch produces Lutherans. They don't all come from the same vine, right? You don't produce different fruit from one vine. That's the principle. But he says, if a man does not abide in me, the branches are men, individual Christians, and we're all attached to Christ when we obey the gospel. So he's the source of life that feeds the branches, you and me, which enables us to bear fruit. So when we go out in the Lord's vineyard and we do the Lord's work and some good is accomplished, all the glory goes to the Lord, because he's the one who enabled us to even have life to be able to do this. And so he's the vine. We simply serve him. And those that don't serve him, don't bear fruit, don't work in his vineyard, they'll be cut off. And those that are cut off are cast out and then burned in the fire. Those who do bear fruit, however, are purged, which means that they're pruned. And so the Lord disciplines us to strengthen us and to make us able to do even more service and more work for him, so that more fruit can be born. And that's ultimately the goal, that more fruit is produced. He says that it is the Father's will. It's what glorifies the Father when we bear much fruit. Not just a little fruit, not just one piece of fruit, but much fruit. And what we're learning from this parable is that we're not going to bear fruit if we don't go out into the vineyard and work. And we're not going to bear much fruit unless we go out into the vineyard every day and work hard. It's a lot of effort and a lot of energy in order to produce the fruit that glorifies God. But it can be done, not in our own strength, but in the Lord, who is the vine, who is supplying the life and the motivation for all that we do. So the key to serving in the Lord's vineyard, of course, is to abide in him. And in this passage, Jesus says that we abide in him when his word abides in us. And he also says that we're clean through the word which he has spoken. So abiding in Christ means living in obedience to his will. And that includes going and working in his vineyard. And so when we abide in him and we obey the gospel, we will bear fruit and, of course, will bring glory to the Lord and be pleasing unto him. I want to close by reading from 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6, where Paul uses the illustration of farming, which relates, of course, to the vineyard, to talk about the work of the Lord. And he's talking about the church at Corinth and how, of course, he had a part in preaching the gospel there and converting people. But there were also others like Apollos. And he says in verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And that's how it works in the Lord's vineyard. We go out and we do our part, whatever it may be. Some may plant, others may water. Some may be better at ministering to the sick, and others may be better at evangelizing and teaching the gospel. But we all do our part, and the Lord gives the increase. He's the one that produces the fruit, but he does it through our efforts. So Paul says in verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." All the glory goes to God. The ones who do the work, we're just serving as we should. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." There's the individual nature of this command. I'm not going to be rewarded for what you have done. You won't be rewarded for what I have done, but each for what we have done individually. And then he says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So he's talking about the church at Corinth. He says, you are the vineyard. You are the ground that has been tilled. You are the farm. You are the building. And Paul's labor was to build up this congregation so that they then could go out and do the same. Teach the lost, help those who are in need to do the work of the Lord. But that's what God's vineyard is all about. And so the command is important for us to remember. Son, go work today in my vineyard. We as children of God are commanded to go and to work and to do so with urgency, even today, in the vineyard that belongs to the Lord, to be members of his body, citizens of his kingdom, branches attached to the vine that is him, to go out and to work and to serve, to bear fruit that brings honor and glory to his name. And that's what it means to work in the Lord's vineyard. And I hope that as we think about this, we'll all be willing to evaluate ourselves and examine ourselves and ask, am I working in the Lord's vineyard? Not am I planning to, am I going to one day, but am I right now today working and serving as the Lord wants me to in his vineyard? If not, I hope that we'll have the attitude of the son who repented and went, who said, I'm not doing what my father asked me to do, and he deserves my best because he's my father. So I'm changing my heart and my attitude, and I'm going to do what he says. He changed his mind, and then he obeyed. If you're not working in the Lord's vineyard, change your mind and your heart today and become a servant of the Lord. If that means obeying the gospel to become a Christian so you can be a part of the Lord's vineyard and work and serve in it, then make that decision and do it. We can help you put on Christ in baptism today. Start a new life of service to the Lord in his vineyard. If you've done that but haven't been faithful, need to repent, make those sins right with God, be willing to do that. Confess that you're wrong. Pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you and for you. The Lord will forgive and restore, and he'll allow us to again be his children and to serve and to work in his vineyard so that glory can be brought to him. If you have sins that need to be made right, we'll help with that if you'll let it be known by coming forward as we stand and as we sing.